Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. Thank the Lord for his blessings, his guidance today. If you want to turn with us, I'd like to look at a little psalm that probably most of us could quote by memory. Anyone guess what it would be? Psalms 23. And I especially appreciated that song this morning that we sing. In fact, I had it picked out and I thought we might sing it. And then they sang it and I thought, that's wonderful. I think that's the desire of my heart. In the last while, I've thought to myself, I want to love him more. I want to love him more. I want to draw up closer to the Lord. I want to realize what he's really done for me. And I had looked at that song, and then I looked at another one, and in the Christian hymnal, if you turn over to page 373, I looked up the one and there was the other one on the other page. They're just right across the page from each other. We sang it in the church hymnal this morning, I Want to Love Him More, but on page 373, it speaks about more about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. Why don't we just sing that song? The Christian hymnals on page 373. More about Jesus' word I know, more of his saying. Second verse says, more about Jesus, let me learn more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. All that, there's so much there. More about Jesus, let me learn more of his holy will. Showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness. More of his love who died. Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more. Jesus, more of his saving fullness. last verse says more about Jesus on his throne. Riches in glory, all his own. More of his kingdom's sure increase. More of his coming, Prince of Peace. He's gone to prepare a place for us. And where he's gone, he's going to be coming again to take us to be with him if we're ready and watching. Let's sing the last verse. More about Jesus on his throne, riches in glory are his own. More of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming, Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, bow our heads for prayer before we begin. Father, we're so thankful today for what thou hast done for us. We're so thankful, Lord, for the love of God that we can't even begin to comprehend. We thank thee, Lord, thou was willing to give the very best that heaven had, even thine only begotten Son, that he'd come down here that we would not have to perish, but that we could have everlasting life and have it more abundantly. We can live it while we live and be ready when we die. And we pray that thou wilt help us, Lord, we might grasp the things of the Lord, be able to understand a little more of thy great love for us. Just open the word to our hearts and help us, Lord, to learn to love thee more. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. This is one of these scriptures that it seems like you just is a real gold mine. I was noticing here the other day, they said that from way down under the crust of the earth, in fact, it was hundreds of miles down, this volcano had spewed up, and it had spewed up some of the richest, some of the most beautiful diamonds, and some things that they'd never seen anything quite like it before, hidden way down, but it had come up out of this volcano, and they said it, no doubt, had come up from hundreds of miles below the crust of the earth. This is one of those things where the spiritual truths are just unimaginable. It's wonderful what God has for us. My sister called me yesterday, and so we had a good long conversation, you know, if you haven't seen one for a long time. And we got to talking about spiritual things, and of course it was on both of our minds about Mother passing and what she was doing in heaven, and we were even wondering if she can see what we're doing, wonder if she can know what's happening down here on this earth. Did questions like that ever go through your mind? Wonder if they can see what we're doing. And I thought, and then she mentioned to me, she says, you know, I thought there were times, now we don't have Mother to pray for us, and we could ask her to pray for us about certain things. And then I mentioned to her, I said, I don't know what she knows about us, but I'm sure that if it's possible that she would maybe go to the Lord and say, Lord, help them especially. You see what they're going through. They need your special help. We know that Jesus is our great intercessor. He's the one that is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. But a lot of these questions that we wonder what's going on in the spiritual world and what's going on in heaven, what's going on here, some of these things will be all cleared up when we understand it better by and by when we're on the other side. Now looking here in Psalms 23rd chapter. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The sheep have a way of thinking that way too, that I just sort of claim the shepherd, he's mine. That's my shepherd. And one of the disciples was like that, you know, the Lord loves me, he especially loves me. And I had to think about that as far as our fathers are concerned. Usually it's the little boys, they're little fellas, they look up to their daddies. And if their daddy is big and strong, and I get big, I want to be just like daddy. I want to be tall, and I want to be strong. Nobody's stronger than my daddy. He's the strongest man. And I've heard little boys say things like that in school, comparing things. On my daddy, he's stronger than any other one. He's my daddy. And this scripture says that the Lord is my shepherd. He's mine. It's good he can be yours too, but he's mine. And you can say the same thing. He's mine, and it's like we share the same shepherd, but he's personally, he's my Lord. He's my shepherd. That's why we can say, Abba, Father. We can come to the Heavenly Father in prayer and say, My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And coming only through the name of Jesus, because Jesus was the one that shed his blood to blot out sin so that we could have access to the Heavenly Father. My Lord, my Savior, he's mine, my personal Savior. And the next few words is something that I got to thinking about. It says, I shall not want. I shall not want. If I ask you, do any of you have any wants? Some of us, we sure have some real needs. I need this. I need a new pair of shoes. My old pair is falling apart. I've got a hole in it. My toe's almost sticking through. Or these pants, they're getting so thin. There's different things. And yet, it seems like the devil makes fools of his subjects. He makes fools of his subjects. I think I told you this one other time. There was a businessman downtown told me, he said, I don't know what's coming to this world. He said, I got a granddaughter, and he said, she had some old pants on, said they was about wore through. In fact, there was places that they were all, looked like they're faded, but then they have, the knees are clear through. And he got up close to her and said, you know, I'll help you out. I'll give you some money. You need to get some more. Because it looked like these clothes is clear wore out. I said, Grandpa, I paid $70 for them, just like this. $70 for something that the devil makes his subjects look ridiculous. And if it's a fad, if it's a fashion, then they run after it. But I'm glad that the child of God, if he has God, if he has the Lord as his shepherd, he can truly say, I shall not want. Then that's even past the place where our needs, that we really need some food, we really need some clothes, we really need some shoes, we really need a car. But past that, what is our soul hungering for? As a real Christian, it should be different than the child of the devil. Our hungers, our desires, our needs, our wants are such that they fall in the line that God can supply every one of them richly and abundantly. He can give us just exactly what we stand in need of and exactly what we long for. Oh, for a closer walk with Him. Oh, for a closer walk with Him. That's a need, but it's also a hunger. It's also something that is a want in our heart. The scripture talks about, the psalmist said he was a poor and needy man. And he said, yet the Lord thinketh on me. The Lord thinketh on me. Now, if you can think about that just this morning, each one of you that's here, whether you're young or whether you're old, that this morning in this service, that the Lord is thinking about you personally. And not just the one sitting beside you. He's thinking about them too. But He's thinking about you. And He's thinking about your needs. He's thinking about your desires. Maybe He's thinking about things that are making you too busy to stay close to Him, or the things that may be tripping you up some way in your spiritual life. But He also, I believe, He sees the hunger of our soul. And when we get alone with the Lord and lift our hearts heavenward and cry out to God, He hears our faintest cry. He knows the longings and the desires of our heart, that we have no desire to live for the world, but we have a great hunger and a thirst in our heart to be with Him. And then what does He do? Well, the second verse says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside the still waters. You look at your, some of you have cattle, some of you have horses, and we have some hay bales out in one of our fields that have been picked up. But when we turn the horses in there, you don't even have to worry about the hay bales. In the summertime, when the old dry hay is all wrapped up in those bales and it can be the very best, they don't even pay any attention to it because they see that lush green grass that's so good it's alive and they can eat it and they love it. And who's going to look at those old dry bales until wintertime comes and all the red green grass is gone, and then they'll get the old dry grass, and I guess they think it's good. They eat it anyway. It's not as good as the green stuff. But it's so wonderful that He just gives us so much that satisfies the longing and desire of our heart. And this is how you can know that cattle are satisfied, is when they've eaten and they go over and find a big shade tree and lay down under the shade tree. And what do? They lay there and chew their cud. And we don't do that. But when we're full spiritually, our soul is satisfied. And we know He is ours and we are His. And He's our shepherd and we can claim Him personally as our own shepherd. And we've partaken of the good spiritual food that God has given us, the Word of God. And when we have our conversations with our brethren and our sisters, and we can talk about spiritual things and encourage one another in the spiritual things, our soul is satisfied, and we know that our soul is right with the Lord, and all is well with my soul. What a wonderful place to be. And then just to go over to the still waters, It seems to me like that it's a pool, and the springs, the clear mountain springs, come down into this pool, and it's all clear and beautiful, sparkling, and there's lots of it. It's deep waters, quiet waters. And after we've partaken and eaten the good things that God has for us, then to just drink of the living water. The living water to satisfy our thirst. I'm not going to drink any out here to show you, because I want to save that for Joseph. But it could make you sort of thirsty if I'd stand up here and sort of drink some water and show, tell you how good it was. And, you know, you get pretty thirsty to where finally some of you start going back to the drinking fountains, probably. But when we can partake of the good things of God, it's so much better than I've seen pictures of down in Africa when the drought was on and when it was so terribly dry that the pools of water were drying up. And now there's just almost pools of mud with a little water mixed in. And the poor deer coming down and risking their lives, and alligators laying down there in the mud with just their eyes sticking up and right up close to the shore, and the little gazelles and whatever they are coming down and slipping down as close as they can and trying to snatch a drink of this old, dirty, muddy water with alligators laying in the middle of it. Aren't you thankful that that's not what God has provided for us? He's provided the springs of living water that satisfy the soul. There's just so much here. And as a result of that, in the very first little phrase of the next verse, it says, "He restoreth my soul." Have you ever come to the place where you felt like, and I believe David was thinking about this when he wrote this, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. And when I've been so low, when I have gone through the trials and tribulations, and my loved ones, even his sons, had turned on him at times, and he had run for his own life, and maybe his faith was not as strong as it should be, and yet God undertook for him and God made a way for him. And he could say, "The Lord restoreth my soul. He's fed me richly and give me all the good things that I need. He's my shepherd. And he's taken care of me spiritually. He's restoring my soul." If you get downhearted and your spiritual life seems to be lagging, and maybe there's some things that have slipped in, and because of not following close to the Lord, you become lean in your heart and you feel like you're not where you need to be, you don't have to stay that way. You can just humbly get down on your knees before the Lord and take time to be holy and open your heart out up and confess whatever there is, anything that's between you and the Lord, and have complete realization that the Lord can wipe the slate completely clean and give you that which will restore your fellowship with him. It goes clear down to the valley of the shadow of death, where he said, "I will fear no evil." And then those little words at the last part of that fourth verse says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And I thought, oh, I would like to look that up or talk to someone, find out just exactly how that rod and staff is used. And, you know, I think of the staff as when a shepherd has a sheep that's off, fell down in the brambles, and he can't hardly reach it, and it's got a hook on the end of it. If he can reach down there and sort of slip that thing either around its neck or someplace, get a hook on it, and pull it up to him. I don't know just exactly how they use those because I haven't seen. But then I thought of the rod. You know, sometimes we need the rod. The Lord has to give us a spiritual whipping But the one that he loves is the one that he chastens. And we're not supposed to become come to the place where we're in despair, but thank the Lord that he cares about us to chasten us. But then my sister made a statement to me, you know, I think that rod, I think sometimes he uses it to drive the enemy away. And if I was a shepherd boy out there and there's a wolf, I'd want something good and stout to let him have it with. And I think that that rod is something that not only, if we need to be corrected, we want to be corrected now before it's too late. But if the enemy comes, thank the Lord, our shepherd will drive him away and give us victory over the devil. When he's assailing us, when he's trying to press you to where that you feel like there's no hope and you've almost thrown up your hands, trust in God. He is my shepherd. Let's kneel in prayer.